Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Dwayne Harshaw here again tonight. Not doing so well on tonight, but to God be the glory. He is blessing me to go through. It's been a kind of a rough day today, but glory be to God. I'm thankful, and I'm going to continue on this journey, doing God's will, trusting the Lord to see me through. I do give an honor to the Lord tonight, thanking him for life, health, and strength, thanking him for giving me another opportunity to be before you tonight on this ministry program. He has blessed us and allowed us down through another week so far, the second day of May, a new month. Thanking the Lord for allowing us to be here in this new month to start. It seems as if once the first of the year hits, the months just fly by, the older you get. But we still trust in the Lord because he has sent us through and taken us through so many situations in our lives. We are more than blessed. I honor the Lord tonight. I thank each and every one of you that may be listening in or that may call in. It truly is an honor and a blessing. And God has blessed each and every one of us through situations in our lives that if it hadn't have been for him, we wouldn't be here tonight. So I'm honored. We're going to go ahead and get our prayer request in so we can go ahead and get the program going. We do want to honor each and every one. We want to pray for our Bishop R.C. Bryant and his companion and family through the things that he's having to go through. Pray for our Bishop Armstrong, him and his family, for their struggles. Our sister, Pastor Logan, with her husband as he fell and he broke his nose, but he's doing better. Our sister Armstrong with her neck problem, my companion having surgery on a week from tomorrow on her left knee. We got so many prayer requests to where someone is needing prayer. Our Deacon Armstrong, just continue to pray God his strength in the Lord. God continues to give him strength to carry on as he does what he has to do. And we look at situations in life, sometimes people don't even appreciate what God has done for them. They feel it as if they've done it for themselves. But God has always been so good to us, better than we could ever imagine being to ourselves. So we want to pray for the sick and the needy, the homeless, all of the bereaved family tonight, all of the incarcerated, our children and families and loved ones, our church families and loved ones, and all of our other leaders that hasn't been mentioned. We want to remember each leader that they will pray and ask God to lead them to give the right word of God to the people, that they won't be deceived, that they'll know the truth, that they'll continue whatever it takes to give God's word, be led by the Holy Spirit. We're just going to pray for each and every one, the world as a whole, the incarcerated. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, it's once again we come to you, Lord, humbling ourselves, thanking you for life, health, and strength. Thanking you for mercy and grace, dear God, something we don't deserve. But, Lord, you continue day in and day out to see us through. I honor you tonight, dear Lord, and thank you for what you have blessed me with to do. And I ask you to help me, Lord, to be led by the Holy Spirit to do it. Your will, not my words, but your words, Lord, in the way you would have me to share the words. I ask you, dear God, to strengthen me, Lord, and continue, Lord, to help me to be where you would have me to be, that I may be able to share with someone else, dear God, because I can't share and try to encourage no one else if I'm not where I'm supposed to be in the Lord. So, Lord, I'm asking you to help me along this journey. Sometimes the road gets rough, Lord, but I'm going to hold on, dear God, and trust in Jesus, asking you to touch each and every one of the ones that prayer has been requested for in their bodies, whatever need that they have, dear God. We ask that you touch them in a special way, dear Lord. Everyone that's listening over the internet tonight, I ask that you reach out and touch them, dear God, in a special way, dear Lord, as we come together and share with each other your word. We ask you to help us, dear God, to focus on you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to focus on what Jesus has done on the cross. In the name of Jesus, of shedding his blood, his burial and resurrection has given us an opportunity, Lord, to live throughout eternity. I thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in advance. Ask you to bless this station, all of the callers, and everyone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. It truly is an honor and a blessing. I'm going to read my daily devotion verse, and it is coming from Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And I've read the inspirational part at the bottom. And this is encouragement for each and every one of us. It says, Jonah cried out to God from the belly of the whale. What a place for a prayer meeting. This should teach us that there is no place on earth where we cannot or should not pray to God. There is no situation we can be in where he will not, where he will be unable to hear us and deliver us. Note that the Hebrew for hell can also be rendered grave in many cases. It was as if Jonah was dead and gone, and the fish's belly was his tomb. But God heard him and brought him back. So in Jonah's situation of disobedience, he had to suffer something. But the thing was, he wasn't too far lost. It says that the fish, the well, or whatever, went down into the depths of the deep. And, you know, in him being within the whale's belly, you know, that's a lot of water. That's a lot of water out there. And me, you know, I can't swim no way. I don't like deep water that gets too deep above my neck. But it lets us see that we, no matter what, and program Tired of Wheels, the family knows best. The family knows best. So to all the family and loved ones, there's no place that you can hide, no place that you can go, no sin that you can do unless you rebel against the Holy Spirit and blaspheme that you can't be forgiven for. So it lets us know, the Bible lets us know, that we can call on the Lord no matter how bad it is, no matter how the situation is. And us as God's children, as we live this journey, people don't understand. We go through just like everybody else because we're human. We are in this human flesh. Every day is not a good day for us. We suffer pain. We suffer hate. We suffer hurt. We go through situations in life just like everybody else, but we have someone on our side that we can call on, and his name is Jesus. He's done it all. He's been through it all. He knows it all. He sees it all. And there's no place that you can go and pray that he won't hear your prayer if you're sincere from the heart. We have to continue to let our families know that there's hope in Jesus. There's love in Jesus. Right here it says, as believers, we are put in a position to influence those around us. The power of our words can be used to build up or tear down. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 tells us that there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. But when and how do we do this? We have the scriptures of God's word to give us all that we need to make it in this world if we would bow down and be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord and his word. Everything that we need in this world, no matter how bad it may seem, we can get it from God's word. I lived the world. I was in the world. I'm still in the world, but not of the world now. But I was of the world then. And I did a lot of things, unimaginable things. I did the drugs, I got high, different stuff, you know, back and forth. And you know, the thing is, I thought it was always joy and fun to me. And at the time, I enjoyed what I was doing because that was the way of the world. But there came a time, and like Ecclesiastes said, there's a time for everything. My time came in a critical way and in a bad way, facing the situation that I was in, that I had to answer the call to, on the side of a hospital bed, thinking that I was going to die. And I was to death, you know. But the cry out to the Lord and the prayers of the righteous, the Bible says the prayers of a righteous availeth much. The prayers of the righteous was there with me as to me that I want to be saved, and I had to pray to and ask God to forgive me and accept Christ into my life. And I did. And I tell you the truth. The thing about it is, I try to share the story with my family and loved ones. God can do anything that he want to, but fail. The doctors couldn't help me. They didn't know what to do until God put it in their spirits to do what they did. But it took a while. It wasn't happening overnight. And the thing was, I wouldn't submit. I kept running. The Lord was dealing with me in ways that people just don't know. But I learned when it's dealing with you, it's easier to just submit yourself to the Lord and open up your heart and repent and ask the Lord to come in. Because if you have to come in a fearful way, the way that I did, it wasn't good. And the thing was, after God saved me and he started to deal with me after saving me to let me know that I seen what he could do for me, I had a decision that I wanted to make that I should have made. He was letting me know that I had to make a decision in life. I either wanted to serve him or go back out into the world. And I said, if I go back out into the world, I'm going to die. I won't make it. And I chose to serve him. And he allowed me to live. But, you know, he could have still saved my soul and still took me on home to be with him after I received Christ into my life. But he seen something, and he wanted me to be in a position to do what I'm doing now. I never would have thought that this would have happened. I'm living off of borrowed time, and I tell everybody this, because I feel like my time was over then when I was in a situation to where I could have died. But the good thing about it is I love the Lord. Sometimes struggles come my way. Hard times come my way. But the Lord has been good to me, and I have to share it. And I do. I share it with my family, my friends, my loved ones, because this is what we're supposed to do. Share the word of God with everyone. It's not for us to just go and live by. Someone else is hurting to learn how to live by God's word. And it's up to us to reach out to them. It says, silence is best in moments of anger. When we are angry, there's a high likelihood that our words will not be produced by the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 19 instructs us, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Similar, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. So it lets us know there's a way about doing things. There's a way about saying things. There's a time to say things. Then there's a time to keep your mouth shut and just pray. Look, listen. Because it's all in God's hands at the end of the day anyway. We can't change things in people's life. It comes to the Lord to do all of that. We can pray for that person, put them in the Lord's hands, and let them know what God gives us to give them, what we're led to say by God's Holy Spirit. And once we do that, that's all we can do. We can't push a person to do anything. Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we say too much. When sometimes we should be listening and just keep our mouth shut. Scripture tells us that silence can help us avoid sinning. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. It says, gain respect. Proverbs chapter 11, chapter 12, and is deemed wise and intelligent. Proverbs 17, chapter 28, In other words, you may be blessed by holding your tongue. So we have a lot of things that we have to do and learn from. And right here it says, when is silence unhelpful or harmful? It says fear, lack of self-confidence, and anxiety can tempt us to keep our mouths shut when we need to boldly speak truth in love. So it's letting us know sometimes we need to step up and not be fearful to speak when it's time to speak to someone. You know, we have to have that confidence that it's already worked out to the Lord. And we have to be an encouraging word and just say what we have to say sometimes out of love and move on. But walking with the Lord means we must give justice to the weak and fatherless. Psalms 82, verse 3. It says, correct oppression or the wisdom. Psalms 37 and 30. And plead the widow's cause. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. When we take a cowardly, quiet backseat and to injustice, we are doing more harm than good in our silence. So sometimes it is more harm to a person that we do in our silences and not saying nothing to them. So we have a lot of family, loved ones that we love. And the thing is, we see them doing a lot of things out of love. And the thing about it is, we let them know that Jesus loves you. He just don't love the sin that you're doing and involved in. I love you. And the sin that you do, it's your sin that you have to answer for. But it don't stop me from loving you. It don't stop me from trying to give you an encouraging word. It don't stop me from turning away from you, because I won't turn away from you. It won't push me to turn away from you just because it's something that I don't like. I mean, I've seen people, drunk people come around. They say nobody want to be around me because of the way that I am. Well, the thing is, it's like this. I don't either. I don't really want to be around a person that's just drinking. But I won't just push myself away from that person. I will suddenly talk to them, give them a few encouraging words, and shy myself away and let them know that I love them and I'm praying for them. But within that situation, I don't really want to be exactly in that situation to stay. And just because a person is doesn't mean that we have to put them down and turn away from them. But we do have to limit ourselves in the situation that we're in around the person. It says, you know, in the word, it lets us know that, you know, we're supposed to lift our brothers and sisters up unless we mess around and we go to the point to where we fall. But the thing is, I can give you an example for that. When I worked at Thomas' womb, I got saved. I was young in the faith. Hadn't been saved long. And all the boys I used to talk much up with and everything else and stuff. And we all went to the bathroom and come back out and everybody washing their hands, standing around talking. Well, instead of me going on like I should have, I stood around with them. And as they was talking that same old mess that they was talking, I popped right in and the curse word came out. And it hit me right off because I know I was supposed to be changed. But the thing was, the guys I was around know that I changed too. And they looked at me like, well, you know, wait a minute now. You right here with us in that same mess and then spoke out and said something that you shouldn't say. Well, see, that hit me right then. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. But from that day forth, it taught me something. I shouldn't have been there in the first place. I should have walked away when I came out. From that day on, the very next day, I started to bring my Bible in. Every break that I had, I would sit there and start reading my Bible to stay away from all of that mess. I'd be over there on lunch break as I got ready to eat, reading the Bible. Even though I didn't understand a whole lot, I still was reading, trying to get something out of it. And God was truly blessing me. After a while, people were seeing me over there doing that, and they wouldn't bother me. They would go on until I got finished. And I said, it took God to do that for me. But I had to make the effort to want to do it. And as I was doing it, this young lady, they had a man that led them in prayer every night on the lunch break and everything, and they shut down the night shift, and she come to me and asked me if I mind praying during the lunch break for the prayer group. And I told her, no, I didn't. So that's what started a prayer group at lunchtime. It started off with two or three people at first. Then we ended up with four or five. And then it grew up to about seven, eight, nine people. And then grew up to quite a few more people. And we all at lunch break would come down right off, sit around. And I would pray us through the prayer. And God blessed it. And a lot of people that was coming by going to lunch break was looking at us as we was over there praying. And they was too afraid or too ashamed to come in, but they started sending little prayer requests. And it let me know that God was working through all of these situations in life. And long as we got the Lord on our side, we've got the majority. We don't have to worry about people's situations and what people think, you know, because the Lord always has our back when we go through these situations. So we share things with our family and our loved ones because we love them so much. We want to see them go to heaven. We want to see them saved. But we got so many hard-headed people in the world today. They don't want to hear that. They'll listen. You get some. But the thing is, you remember, when we was out there in the world, we didn't want to hear it either. What did God do? He still worked it out in our lives, bought us back, and blessed us and saved our souls to where we able to be in a position now to continue to do the same for our loved ones and let them know, because we don't know how God's truly working in their lives. They might not never talk to us or say much about it, but sooner or later they'll show something, some sense of humor to where God is doing something in their lives. And we'll be able to see what God is doing, because we just have to have faith, trust, and believe, and continue to pray. And my mama used to say, I might not live to see my children get saved, but I'm trusting and believing that God's going to save all of my children. And I have a sister and a brother that's passed, and I do believe that God saved both of them. My brother, he was on the path at Caldwell that night with the brain aneurysm as I talked to him. And you could see tears come out the side of his eyes even though he couldn't respond. But I believe I told him to think in his heart and ask the Lord to forgive him, because he went through some things. But the thing is, we know God is able to see us through. My sister now, God has saved her. The enemy tried to make her believe she wasn't saved, but she had to confess it and stand up and say she knows what God has done for her in her life. And he'll do it, but the enemy will try his best to steal it away from me. So we have to continue to talk to the Lord and let the Lord help us through. Now, I'm going to stop talking so much now because I've truly been blessed. Just been on here tonight. I'm going to open up some mics here and get some other words shared to us and everything, some encouragement. Good evening, everybody. God bless you. Love you all. I have your mics open. Anybody want to comment? Or anybody have anything that they would like to say or add? I have all your mics open. Our subject is the family knows best, but we're talking about everybody's our family tonight. You know, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to just put it in God's hands, try to let people know that salvation is for all.
Amen. Yes, it is, sir. This is Margaret, a.k.a. Babe. How you doing, sweetie?
God bless you, ma'am. I'm doing fine. You, ma'am?
I am excellent. I am fantastic.
Well,
praise the Lord, you know.
Yeah,
everything you're saying.
I seen your pictures on Facebook where you were setting up and everything, and I heard you on Brother Armstrong's program talking about how you was able to set up. So it lets me know God works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does. And I tell you, that only piggybacks what you're talking about tonight. There's a time for everything. I had to wait my time. So everything will work out whenever you wait your time. And
yes.
It's been 5 years. And it's been crazy. Now, I never questioned God. Why me this? I never questioned him. Because I know better. But the thing about it is, it's like one day I'm going to do it, and then it just everything is one day I'm going to do it. So every day is it was a time.
Yeah.
And now,
yeah.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah, there is a time for us to get to the point where God is truly giving out all the blessings and receiving all the blessings, which we had to get in a place where we could be used. And that's the thing I learned here in the last 5 months, that we as individuals had to get into a place, even though we're Christians, and go to church and worship the Lord, we had to actually get into a position to be used. And it's not an easy position because you don't understand it at times.
That's right.
Because I did not understand it. But now that I do understand everything, I praise the Lord because he got me to this point.
Amen.
And I take in advance of what you're saying, the time thing, because it is the time for everything.
Everything really has
its time and place.
And you know, the thing is about it, some of the young people, the things that they're doing out into the world today, They try to say they come up with a new thing. But the Bible says that the Lord said he's going to do a new thing. And, you know, the things that we've already been through and seen, the things that's new to them is old to us because we already been there, done it, seen it, and everything. So God lets us know that we can continue to pray for them. But we can't make the way the young people are today. They don't want nobody to tell them what to do. They're above somebody telling them what to do. And they don't have the respect that we had back then when we was growing up. And that's the reason why we have so much killing one another. Because one don't want to be under the other. Everybody wants to be above each other. And you just can't tell them nothing to do. And it's sad that we're killing our own people over little things that really don't make no sense. You know, the world is just messed up. And we try to let our loved ones and everybody know, you know, that God is coming, I mean, Christ coming back. He's coming back for his people. And the thing is, if you're not ready, you won't have another chance because it'll be all over for you. And the Bible lets us know to share it. Like he told Peter, Peter was supposed to share it with the Jews and the Israelites first. And when they turned around and they didn't want to accept it, then the Gentiles had an opportunity. So now's our time to go ahead and speak up and do what thus saith the Lord. Our opportunity is here. But once it's over, we won't have another chance. So like Ecclesiastes said, there's a time to speak, a time to be silent, a time to live, a time to die. So we already know this. So when we're prepared in Christ, it's just a falling asleep for us in Christ Jesus. And
amen.
The thing is, when he comes back and we're ready, how glorious it'll be. I don't want to be on the other end of life, of eternal damnation when I die, because there won't be another chance for life. And we've got to face it regardless to how everybody thinks about it. I had one of my friends at work tell me, I was telling him about, you know, when we die, that it wasn't going to be the end. And he told me, so, well, I guess I'll just die and go to hell. I said, well, you know that's not the end of everything, don't you? He said, that'll be it. I said, I'll be dead. I told him, I said, man, I said, that's not the end. So I tried to explain to him, and he didn't understand. And he just didn't get it. He told me about his mom being a Christian. But the problem was, she was one that dealt with the white liquor and things like that. And I told him, I said, you're not supposed to do that, you know, when you're a Christian. You can't be dealing with that kind of alcohol and stuff like that. And he told me, I think you better not tell my mom that. I told him, I said, I wouldn't just come out and tell her. I said, but if she asked me, I'd have to tell her that she's wrong. You know, it's not right for God's people. The things that some people think is right. Right's right, wrong's wrong. But they didn't made wrong right and right wrong. So we live in a world that's a deceiving world. If you open up your eyes and you look and you see it, you move away from it because you know better. But if you look and you follow it, then you're just as bad as the world. And I don't want to be as bad as the world because the Lord has separated me from the world. Even though I live in the world, I'm not of that world no more because my life has been changed. It's been changed for the better, a better living, a better way, a better thought. So we have so much more to be thankful for than when we was out there living in the world.
Okay, I got to go. I'll call you back. I'll call you right back.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we appreciate you calling in, ma'am. Glad to have you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? We have your own microphone. Anybody wants to speak or have anything they'd like to say?
Yes, and that's like he's saying. We in the world, but we're not out the world. We can't do
things
the world do because
that's
once
right.
You've been born again, you in the world, but you're not out the world. You've been saved
right.
From doing the things for the world. And living
Amen.
For the Lord is the best life to live. So
it
see,
is.
When you in sin, you don't see that. But once you've been born again, that's the best
don't.
Life that you can live is living for the Lord.
It really
you're
is.
No longer in bondage, but you're free from sin.
Yes.
You, when you and so see, now we can see. But when you're in the world, you're blind. You can't see.
Yes.
But when you're in Jesus,
so
you're free. Sin.
Amen.
You're no longer in bondage. Praise God. And it's the best life to live. If you're free. It's just a good life to live. And I'm so thankful.
It really is.
That
it really
I'm
is. Free,
and I know who
I
Jesus
you.
Is. And he
yes.
knows who I am. praise God. And you,
that
you
makes
don't
you
have
feel
to
so
go
good.
Right? Yes, you. It's joy in serving the Lord, and it's a
yes,
clean
it
life. It's
it
a
really
clean
is.
Life. You don't have to lay down at night and be afraid that I'm gonna die.
Amen.
That I'm gonna
That's
wake
right.
up in the morning. You don't have to be afraid
yeah.
to go to sleep at night.
No, you don't.
Praise the
no,
Lord.
No, you don't.
I think it's just a good life to live, a clean life to live, knowing that you know who Jesus is.
So
and
true.
It's just a good life to live, and I'm so glad that he chose me.
Me
I
too.
Didn't choose him. He chose me.
Nope.
And I'm
nope.
I'm thankful for it. Praise God. And
Amen.
I thank God
Amen.
That Sister Margaret called in because God is blessing
yeah.
her. He
yes,
is.
He is.
He's really blessing her. She called
I
in
seen her
today.
Set up outside that bed and everything, and I said, I told her about it, because I can see where he's blessing her. Stood her laying up in the bed.
Yeah, he's blessing her. She called in at the 12 o'clock program today, and she talked and was telling about how God's blessing her, and it's just a blessing what he's doing, even in her
yeah.
life in the nursing home. He's taking her through and her testimony. Because we're supposed to tell about the goodness of the Lord. Because someone
true.
Else needs to hear that. And when you give
yeah,
your testimony,
needs
somebody needs to hear it. About
they
what
really
God
do.
Is doing. So he's still working miracles. He's still blessing in times like we're living in now. Because we're living in a fallen down
yes,
world.
He is.
Where
yes,
man
is
doing any and everything. But Satan don't have that much time longer. He's doing all he can do. But God is still on the throne.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's still taking care of his people. So
still
we don't have to. We don't have to worry because God's going to have his number. We just keep
yes.
praying for our loved ones because God knows who's that's coming in. And we
yes,
just continue to keep the faith, keep lifting him up, keep giving him praise, because he's still in control. Satan's not
yes,
in control. He's already
no,
he's defeated. He's already defeated, and God, he's already lost the battle, because victory
That's
belongs
right.
to the kingdom of God. It
does.
All
it belongs
to the
kingdom. All he's doing is roll out till his time's over.
That's right. So we
because
the
God
side.
Has all power in his hands.
All power.
And he
That's
sent
right.
us through. And like you
he
were saying, we don't have to worry about laying down, worrying about dying.
No,
I used to be to a point in my life that was before when I was in the world and God was dealing and working with me before
yeah.
I came in. And I thought I was going to get away and everything, but he was dealing with me in a way that if I lay
yeah.
down at night, I'll die, you know. And
uh-huh.
many times as I laid there into the world before
uh-huh.
he saved me, thinking about that, I lay down at night,
uh-huh.
and this is how bad he was dealing with me. Like I said, I was hard-headed, stiff-necked, and everything, trying to hold back. And I'd sit back there, and I wouldn't go to sleep. And then I got to thinking, I said, well, if I don't go to sleep, he still can just take me right on and I still die. You know, all kind of thoughts is going through my mind thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and it just so happened 2 weeks before I had to have that surgery. He led me to start going back to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going back to church. And as I started
yeah.
going back, the voices just felt like there was more and more for me. And then that
yeah.
last Sunday, before the Tuesday, that I was going to have surgery, Bishop Hester preached the service. I almost had you. I said, I never will forget that sermon. He preached that Sunday. And it touched my heart, and tears rolled up inside of me and everything. And went on, and he said we could go out that door and something could happen, and we not live to see the next day. And you know, all kind of things about death going through my mind. And as I laid there and they put me on that table that Tuesday and everything for surgery, you know, you think about things, but you don't say nothing to nobody or nothing. You go ahead and you go through them. And I went through the surgery and everything come out good. And all of a sudden, after I got out, about a week after, my episodes started to happen. And there I was. And all of them times beforehand that I was rebelling, thinking about death, going through the situation, being scared, and thinking about all of this weeks before that, well, this really put something on me to think about death, because it was a time that I would try to breathe. And as I was going through these episodes, it looked like I was holding my breath, but I wasn't. And the doctor would tell me, said, breathe, young man. And I'd try to push a breath out. I couldn't push a breath out. I'd try to pull the breath in. I couldn't. Everything just was on pause, like you can't breathe, and you're holding your breath until you die. And I'd sit there, and I'm looking around. I was like, well, this is going to be it for me, you know, thinking it's in my life and everything. So it was really a bad episode, because I went through this many times, just sitting there, and I just stopped. Couldn't take a breath in or take a breath out. I just stopped breathing. Yeah, but I'm sitting there with my eyes wide open, feeling what it feels like not to breathe, waiting to waste away. And God, if it hadn't have been for God, it happened so bad on that Saturday evening that I called the hospital myself, because I just knowed I wasn't going to make it through the night. And they told me to come in then. That's when I went on to the hospital. And they started doing everything they could. They was giving me shots for people that had seizures, and shots for this and shots for that. And, I mean, they was just feeding all the different medicines at one time in me, and nothing was changing. I was hurting from all the shots I was getting. And then when y'all showed up, and the prayers started and everything, and I went ahead and accepted Christ in my life, that side of the hospital bed. It's like the whole room lit up so bright, and the hospital lights is bright already, but it was just so much brighter in there as I looked around and accepted Christ into my life. I was like, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I stayed that night. Even though the episode was still going on, I felt better. And that was the first night that I was able to sleep fully, that the episode didn't happen until the next morning. And this went on for about a month, nonstop, for a month, every day. I mean, people don't realize every day I lost about 25 pounds, you know, from this, because the food was laid down and I couldn't do the things I needed to do. I just went through day and night. But God changed some things in my life. People don't realize how hard it was to go through that situation for a whole month. By the time God got done whooping me with that situation, I was glad to say, Lord, forgive me and accept him into my life. And then when he gave me that opportunity to live or die, and I chose to live, and he carried me on. Like I said, he could have let me live anyway and still took me after saving my life. But he didn't. He carried on and let me get better and better and better, serving him and serving him better and better. But it was a journey, sometimes a hard journey along the way, because I wasn't used to this lifestyle. I had to learn some things in this lifestyle. It was a ongoing journey, a learning process, a new way of living for me to have to serve the Lord and learn how to serve the Lord. Because when you get saved, you just don't know how to serve the Lord. You got to learn how to serve the Lord.
No, you got to learn.
And you got to be around people to help teach you how to serve the Lord. You got to learn how to study his word. You got to learn how to, there's so many things that you, it's a process.
Yes,
ongoing,
it's a process.
Never ending process when you start serving the Lord. So many things you have to go through in life along with the people, the things that you go outside of the Christian life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's
I look
worth
back
it.
Now from where he's bought me from to now, and it was worth
it.
I
yes,
love
it. Was.
I like what
yes,
he has for me to do. I used to didn't run my mouth as much, but I love running my mouth for the Lord. And he has blessed me to run my mouth for him. And, you know, it's just a blessing when he gives you something and you enjoy doing it. But
that's
you have
right.
to learn how to do that, too.
Yes, you do.
So
he's gave you
something I had to learn to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still learning.
That's right.
I'm still
praise
going.
The Lord.
I'm still trusting. I'm still believing.
Yes, Lord.
I'm still praying to give me more and more, Lord, and help
praise
me
God.
To be what you want
yes,
me to
Lord.
Be. It's not about me
yes,
or what
Lord.
I want to be or what I want to do,
Lord.
But what he wants me to be, what he wants me to
be. That's all
me
right.
To say hi,
all
he wants
right.
me to say it. It's a number of things we have to realize. Like I said from the beginning, Ecclesiastes told a story. There's a time for everything. No
for
matter
everything.
What that time may be, no matter what
right.
that thing may be, it's a time for it. And
it's a time.
That right there made more sense than a whole lot of people pay attention to. Because it is. It's a true saying. Because it's a time. Everything works on a certain time-based situation but God.
Praise God. Praise the
God
Lord.
God don't
praise
have to worry
Lord.
About it, but us. It's a time base for each and every one of us to live on.
Praise the Lord.
And God's
praise
got
God.
It all wrapped around it in his hands and in control as
that's
we
right.
go through it.
He does.
We just have to trust
amen.
It, believe
amen.
It, and accept
yes.
as it is. Not to deceive
amen.
Anybody
amen.
On the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Try our best to be led. God's spirit in the right way for everything that we say or everything that we do, everything that we share to people. And but the thing about the whole thing is, though, when you show love for every bit of it, that makes the difference.
Show love. That's the truth. That is
see,
the
that's
truth.
Something that I had to learn, too. When the Lord
love.
Changed my life, had to learn that love thing too all over again. Because when I was in the world, I tell people I love you, but if you make me mad, that doesn't matter no more, you know. But now I can say I love you and you can get me upset and I might smile, I might laugh about it or whatever and just go on. I might get a little upset. I'm not going to let it bring me down. I'm not going to lose love for you. I'm going to continue to love you anyway.
And anyway. That's all right. That's all right. Praise the Lord.
That's the change that God can do in your life. And
praise
he can
God.
Do
God makes a difference.
Yeah, he makes
praise
a big difference. He's a whole
he
difference.
Makes, he does. He makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm thankful
amen.
For it because I know how I was. And
praise
a lot of people
Lord.
Know how I was. They'd look at me and they said, boy, you made a big change. No, I didn't make no big change. God made a big change
God
in me.
Difference.
It
he
wasn't
made
me.
A difference.
I couldn't have did it. And I wouldn't have did it.
Maybe.
But he made a big change in me.
He made the deal. That's
can't
right.
Take credit for nothing. Yeah, I can't take credit for nothing. Without him,
praise
I wouldn't be the way
God.
I am.
That's right. That's right. He made the deal.
A lot of people say they don't think about what you know God's done, and they put things in the perspective that you done this or you done that. I may have done it, but I had to do it with somebody's help. And God was the help that I did.
That's right. That's right. God did.
It had to be somebody giving me help to do these things. I
that's
couldn't do
truth.
Them on my own. So
no,
I can't take
no.
the full responsibility. As long as he gives me grace to do it, I'm able to do something.
Yeah.
Without his mercy and grace,
God.
The
Doesn't do nothing. It is the truth.
I'm thankful because this is what I'm doing now. Without him helping me through and seeing me through, I couldn't
this
program.
Couldn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Praise.
So I'm thankful.
Praise God.
We love our family. We pray for our family and loved ones. And the thing is, we can't change them. We can't make them do what they don't want to do. Sometimes we get on to them for things that we did in the world, and we don't pay attention to what we did. It's all about what they're doing now. We get on to them about it. So I told the girl, I said, Uncle Tweet did things, and I said, I'm not going to get mad at y'all. I said, I try to talk to y'all and encourage you about these things. I said, but once I do, I'm going to pray for you, and it's up to y'all to get it right.
That's right.
Because I can't make no change for nothing that you do.
No.
But I am praying that you will want to make that change for yourself.
That's
for the better.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's
first thing, they look at you and say, well, you did it. Why are you getting on to me about it? You did this and you did that. They'll throw it right back up in your face.
Yeah.
So I said, I ain't going to say a word. I tell them I'm praying for you. I've been
praying
through the situation that you've been in, and I mean, you know, we have to continue to just encourage them the best we can. Pray for them. Put them in God's hands. Because he can work it out.
Yes, Lord. He's the only one that can.
I can't do.
Work it out. Yes, Lord.
Surely I'm blessed tonight. Thankful tonight. Because God has allowed and blessed the program tonight.
Everyone
may be listening online, wherever they may be, on the phone line. It's just truly a blessing and honor. We thank God for having each and every one of you out there listening. We're praying for you. We love you.
And
we open up our hearts with love, letting you know that God is the answer for whatever situation that you're in. If it's like you can't make it sometimes, give Christ a chance. Give Christ
a
chance first before you do anything.
And
watch the change in your life come out for the better.
That's right.
Give him a chance.
Amen.
He will change your life.
That's right. Yes.
Sister, we're going to ask you to pray us out tonight. We thank God for everyone.
Praise God. Most holy and all wise God. We thank you for this opportunity coming to you right now in prayer, thanking you for the podcast, Lord. We thank you for everyone on the line. Oh, God, we ask you to continue to bless every hearer, God. Lead, God, and direct us, Lord. We thank you, God, for everything we heard, God, tonight, Lord. Let your will be done, God. You know every need, God. You're all about us tonight, Lord.
Help us
be led by your spirit as we continue to go through this week, God, giving you honor, giving you praise. Let your will be done in our lives, God. Oh, God, we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.